This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu. Wala ummata ba'da ummatihi. Wala kitaba ba'da kitabih. Wala shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. وقال تعالى: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, we at this particular night and the night of 12th of Rabiul Awwal, we are aware that when the month of Rabiul Awwal comes, because it is the month in which the birth and the death of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened, and that too on the same day. And in that also there is great wisdom. This may be ajeeb hikmat hai ki Allah Ta'ala ne ek hi din mein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka pedaish aur wisal ek hi din mein hua. It happened in one day. So in that also there is wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we always have to keep in mind that we must remember that we believe that for us to make mention of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's praise and to speak about any aspect of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, anything related to the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at any time, in any month, is full of virtue and praise and blessings and rewards. It's not as if we are supposed to confine ourselves to only remember Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this night or this day or this month. Anytime, every time, we are supposed to remember our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every time we remember Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is full of blessings and full of rewards. One question comes, Maulana addressed it: why do we have this Sirah Jalsa? Why do we have and speak about our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And I'm reminded that a very great Egyptian scholar, Sheikh Tantawi, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, wrote a book on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He entitled it Karawane Medina, The Pathway to Medina. So he told Sheikh Tantawi to write an introduction to this book. And when I read this introduction, I was really taken aback. It's really worthy of reading and worthy of listening. So Sheikh Tantawi says, and he writes in this introduction to the book, Pathway to Medina, he said, the first time I went to Medina, I went by foot. I went by a camel. That time, of course, we know. I remember my grandfather telling me how he used to go from Makkah to Medina and how long it used to take them in the 30s and the 20s. Nevertheless, he says that we went by camel and we got lost. And when we got lost, the pangs of hunger came upon us. Our throats were parched because of thirst. And death stared us because we couldn't find. We were in the desert and there was no way. And we were losing ourselves. We were lost. There was no food. There was no, you know, water. And all of a sudden, the Baddu, the person who was leading the camel, who was most of the time gloomy, he never used to smile, all of a sudden started smiling. And he looked at the mountains, and we couldn't make any difference between the mountains. And he said, "Hada Uhud, this is Uhud." And he said, all of a sudden, our whole situation changed, our enthusiasm increased. He said that words were like magic to me. He said, I wouldn't exchange 100 gold coins for that one word. He said, Hada Uhud. Which of course meant that Medina is near. He said, then our enthusiasm increased. We prepared ourselves. We presented ourselves to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, our tongues were unable to articulate the words to express our emotion and love that we had for our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somehow we managed to make salam. And now he's writing 33 years after that. Right? He says, oh Abul Hasan, 33 years have passed from that particular day. I started wondering, where had that yearning gone? Where had that love gone? Which I had when I first came. When I came by foot in camelback. What had happened to that love and yearning? I felt, I started doubting myself. What happened with that love? And then your book came. I read your book. It's a very beautiful book on the praises of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam on various angles. And since then I realized that the love was there. There was only dust upon that love. I had to remove that dust. I had to remove that cobwebs. And that love came all of a sudden back again. That yearning came back again when I read your book. In reality, that is why we bring this Sirat Jalsa. I believe, and I firmly believe, there is not a ummati in this world that does not have love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But sometimes what happens is that love has been in the innermost recesses of our hearts. It has gone lost in our hearts. We need to polish it again. We need to revive it again. And that is why we have these jalsas and these talks. To be able to bring back again the love. To be able to bring about the love and yearning for our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then of course, to be able to practice upon the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I always say this, you and I can never ever do justice. We can never ever do justice to the praises of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I cannot do justice in saying, you cannot do justice in hearing. Huh? The fact of the matter, tutsa kohi nahi, tutsa kohi nahi. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, there is no one like you. Ey Rasool-e Ameen, Ey Rasool-e Ameen, tutsa kohi nahi, tutsa kohi nahi. There is no one like you, there is no one like you. Tere sikka rawa, kul jahan mein hua, us jahan mein hua, is zameen mein hua. Your greatness, your eloquence, your beauty shines in all spheres, in all existence. We will never be able to praise, but we are never supposed to mystify the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent that we can't benefit. Very important. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam bahut bade hum unke jo hai na wo ada nahi kar sakte, unke haq ada nahi kar sakte. لیکن اس کا مطلب یہ نہیں ہے کہ اس میں ان کی زندگی سے ہم فائدہ نہیں اٹھا سکتے. After all, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He made the life of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a practical example, as a sample. And I always give this example with regard to a sample. You go to a tailor, you go to a dress designer, and you tell him, see, this is the measurement I want you to make my kurta, my jabba, my dress, and then he makes it opposite that. He give him the sample, and after giving him the sample, you get it back. But you say, but the sleeves are long, the sleeves are short, the length is not right. What will you do? I know what we will do. We'll tell the tailor, but I gave you a sample. I gave you the sample. How could you go against the sample? What happens if Allah Ta'ala were to tell us on the day of Qiyamah? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. I gave you the sample. I gave you the most beautiful example of how to lead your life. Why didn't you lead according to that? Why were they shortcuts? Why didn't you go according to that sample which I gave you? You and I will get angry with the tailor. What happens if Allah Ta'ala were to get angry with us? That I gave you the sample and you didn't. So this is the reality with regard to it, that we can never do justice, but we must never mystify. And today, my dear respected brothers, what I want to do, I want to lead you to a journey and see how our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on every occasion, in every endeavor, in every person that he met, in every one of his interaction, that our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam always said the appropriate things, had the appropriate etiquette, had the appropriate way of dealing with that situation. There never was a situation in the life of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam acted in a way that was inappropriate. For every situation that he dealt with it in the correct manner. When he spoke to someone, he spoke with the right words. He spoke with the appropriate words. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi writes that the way Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to the Quraysh, the way he spoke to the Ansar of Medina, the way he spoke to the people of Najd, the way he spoke to the people of Hamdan, the way he spoke to the people of Qahtan, every one of them that he addressed them in a way that was appropriate to the audience and to the people that he was addressing. This was the beauty of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam amongst the various mu'jizas and miracles of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And let us start with how Allah how he addressed Allah. How he addressed Allah. What a better way can we start than how our beloved, and maybe it is also a beauty of ours that we, you and I, there is no human being that you and I know as much about the way we know about our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And for this we have to thank the companions, we have to thank the muhaddith, and they are the ones who had preserved the life of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that today, despite the fact of the great passage of time, we know about our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I tell people, tell me how much white hair is in your father's beard. No one will be able to tell us. We don't know. But we know, because the love Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba had for him, that they say that they used to count, and they counted 17 white hairs upon Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's beard before he passed away. This much they knew. The Urdu poet has said, now I'm not a good poet, I hope I will be able to read. One of my disappointments that I can't read good Naat, because I love Naat, I love praises, I love poetry, but I can't sing it properly. And the Urdu poet has said, Hamne aako se deka nahi hai magar unki tasweer Sine mein maujood hai. We have not seen him, but because we have read about him, the Sahaba had preserved his life. They have related to us. It is as if he is living in our heart. This is the beauty of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How did he address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Every time he addressed Allah with the appropriate words. He went to Taif. In part of my talk, I want to speak how he spoke to the people of Taif, and how he related to the tribe of Taif, Thaqif, when they came to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards the latter portion of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. But when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif, we all know, and this is very fresh in my heart and in my life, because just a month ago I spent the whole day in Taif, going to visit the various places where it is said that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went. I went to read one namaz in a masjid. And I thought about something very amazing. I said, Ya Allah, the people of Taif, they chased Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out of Taif. And then Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was presented and said that, you know, if you make dua, we will destroy the people of Taif. And then Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't destroy them. Perhaps they will not accept Iman, but their children will read Iman and they will bring Iman. When I read namaz in that masjid, that masjid of Abdullah ibn Abbas, my mind went to that. I said, Ya Allah, today we're reading namaz here because of the dua of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They have not accepted Islam, their children will accept Islam. And Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Taif. He was persecuted. He was chased out of Taif. And when he was chased out of Taif, and when he came out of Taif, and then Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed and, you know, took refuge at a place. And there, a person came by the name of Addas. You know, Addas came to give Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam some grapes. And today there is, you know, sometimes also amazing. So they haven't preserved the many historical aspects relating to the life of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah knows best with regard to why and the reason they have given. But on a cultural basis, they have preserved. So there is a masjid known as Masjid Addas. And outside that masjid, there is a plaque that is their cultural heritage. So now Addas came to visit Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he was sent by Utba and Shayba, right? The sons of Rabi. Although they were the ones who had been behind the persecution of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after all they were some way related, so they felt ashamed and regretful. So they sent Adas with a plate of grapes. So when they sent Adas with a plate of grapes, he brought it. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he took it, read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Adas said, yeah, what is this? I've never ever heard Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started giving him da'wah. This is the way Allah Ta'ala taught me to read before I eat. And then he asked Adas, Adas, where do you come from? So Adas said, I come from Ninwa. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you come from the place where my brother Prophet Yunus ibn Matta comes from. So Adas said, how do you know about Yunus? So he said, I know because Allah had revealed to me about Yunus. So Adas started kissing the face of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He showed him such amount of respect. And the ulama say he became a Muslim then. Because Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi and Waqidi have related and have counted Adas as a sahabi of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when he went back to his, you know, his master, the master said, Adas, you don't show me respect the way you show Muhammad. He said, he's a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He's a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when they were going to Badr, Adas said, please don't go. He's a Nabi of Allah. He's got Allah's help. You won't be able to overcome him. Anyway, this is just by the way I was saying. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a dua after the persecution. And that dua is so full of wisdom. You know, it is something to say. You know, Allahumma ilayka ashku dhu'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ila an-nas. Oh Allah, I can complain to you about my weakness, about the feebleness of my efforts, that maybe perhaps I was not able to present, and I was not able to present the truth to the people of Taif. Oh Allah, I complain to you about my weakness. I complain to you about the feebleness of my strategy perhaps. You know, oh Allah, to who have you entrusted me? Ila man takilni. Who have you entrusted me, Allah? Ila aduwi yatajahuni. Am ila qareebin malaktuhu amri. Oh Allah, who have you entrusted me? Have you entrusted me to my enemies? Have you given me over to my enemies? Or have you given me over to people who have control over my situation? Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, but oh Allah, as long illam takun sakhitan, فَلَا أُبَالِي غَيْرَ إِنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ أَوْسَهُ لِي. Oh Allah, after all of this has happened, as long as you are not angry, I have no worries. فَلَا أُبَالِي. I have no worries as long as you are not angry. غَيْرَ أَنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ أَوْسَهُ لِي. Except that if you had shown me and you had brought afiyat and well-being and peace, it would have been better for me. You know, every word of that is so beautiful, so appropriate, which expresses the situation, and it also expressed, you know, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam's long vision that as long as you are not angry with me, O Allah, I have no problems. This is how our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same Maulana Abu al-Hasan Nabi rahmatullahi alayhi has written a book, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the mirror of his du'as. He said the way Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed Allah and the way he made dua to Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that in itself is a miracle of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That duas are a miracle. That duas can only emanate from a Nabi of Allah. Let me give you one example. He gave many examples. But just to make you understand, and let us go next because we have to try to cover many things. So I'll give you one example. All right. One of the great challenges that is there for each and every one of us, right, is that when, you know, you have a certain degree of respect, right? No one likes to be disgraced. لا يحل لمؤمن أن يذل نفسه. It's not permissible for a person to be disgraced. Right? And yet at the same time, we have to be careful that we don't become so full of ourselves in praising ourselves and thinking so highly about ourselves that we become proud and arrogant. So you have these two extremes that you have to keep away from. One is you're not supposed to be arrogant, and one, you're not supposed to debase yourself. So how did our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, get that beautiful balance that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "O Allah, make me insignificant in my eyes and grant me respect in the eyes of people. O Allah, make me insignificant in my eyes and grant me respect in the eyes of people." This is how our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he praised and he said, "O Allah, make me insignificant in my eyes, right? And grant me respect in the eyes of people." What is the dua? The dua is just escaping me, but it will come back, inshallah. But look at that beautiful. How did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam find the right way? And this is how our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day came. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was sahaba came to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, they said, "Tell us about our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam." And she said, and they said, "Tell us something amazing." And he said, "What was not amazing of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" One day he came home after Isha and he said, "Oh Aisha, give me permission that I would like to, you know, make dua to Almighty Allah. I would like to supplicate before Almighty Allah. I would like to make ibadat before Almighty Allah." So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was Aisha. She was so beautiful and so great. And she said, "Ya Rasulullah, you know, we yearn for your company. We yearn for you to be with us. But yet at the same time, we are sacrificed to whatever you desire." So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam started reading salat. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam read salat. That Hazrat Aisha said, "Fabuka'an buka'an shadida." He made such a long salat. He made such a long salat. He made so long ruku. He made so long sijda. And he started weeping. Until afterwards, the next day, I said, "Ya Rasulullah, Allah has given you such a high status. Why do you still put yourself through such great physical exertion?" And he said, "Afala akunu abdan shakura? Should I not be a grateful servant of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if Allah has given me such a great status?" You know, I like to make mention of this. Hazrat Maulana Ata'ullah Shah Bukhari rahmatullah Ali one day made mention. He was a very articulate speaker. He was a very great orator. And he said, "Maine ek haseen dekha, haseeno mein ahsan nazar aaya. Jamilo mein ajmal nazar aaya, kareemo mein akram nazar aaya. I saw a human being who was the most beautiful of all people." And just coming back, before I make mention of that dua, "Allahumma ja'al fi ayni saghira wa fi ayunin nasi kabira." That balance that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh Allah, make me insignificant in my eyes. Make me small in my eyes, but make me respectable in the eyes of people." What a beautiful dua. Can only emanate. What I'm trying to show, the appropriate words that he used on every occasion. And then Maulana Ata'ullah Shah Bukhari said, "I saw a beautiful person, such a beautiful person, such a great person. I thought for a moment that such a great person that Allah Ta'ala takes an oath in the city he resides. La uqsimu bihadha al-balad wa anta hillum bihadha al-balad. I take an oath by the city because you stay in the city, O Prophet of Almighty Allah. I take an oath wa qilihi by your statements and your words. I take an oath by la'amruk, by your life. I take an oath, alam nashrah laka sadrak, did we not open up your chest to receive the divine guidance? And we have not given you that divine guidance, such divine guidance, that particular divine guidance had such weight. Lo anzalna hadha al-Qur'an ala jabal, lara'aytahu khashi'an mutasaddi'a." If that Qur'an was revealed upon the mountain would have been, you know, raised to the ground because of the weight of the wahi. But the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could bear it. And such a great Nabi, when he said yes to something, it became halal. When he said no to something, it became haram. مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And Mu'atawla said, "Such a great person, I thought if something happens to me, if I have any problem, if I have any inquiry, if I have any situation, I will go to this person to ask for assistance." But he said, went through the means of his biography, went through the means of his history. "I went to go and knock at his door. I saw the entire creation sleeping. And I saw this great human being crying in front of someone else. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكُ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ." Oh Allah, if you punish my ummah, you are entitled to punish them because they are your servants. But if you forgive them, you also have the power to forgive them. He said, then my mind was made. Don't go to such a person for assistance. Go to that being where even such a great person go and ask assistance for. Go to that being where even such great people go and ask assistance from. The Prophet of Almighty Allah displayed the right etiquettes in front of Allah Ta'ala. Then the next thing is, how do you display your etiquettes to your family members? Brothers, I have to make mention of this. Today you and I have made this mistake. We feel that good akhlaq and good conduct, is reserved for the people who are outside our homes. That's what we feel. Akhlaq, hum dikhayenge, lekin log jo bahar ho, bahar ke log se hum jo na achhi tarah se mulaqat karenge, achhe akhlaq se pesh aayenge. Ye kahan se humne sikha? Sabse pehle jo akhlaq hai, usko ghar mein apnana chahiye. The first thing that we are supposed to do is to show the akhlaq in our house. This is what our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He showed such great akhlaq to the people of the house. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, and she makes mention of the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get up for tahajjud. And I just sometimes I'm amazed with regard to this. What a great situation that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting up for tahajjud in front of the wives who used to sacrifice or were prepared to sacrifice everything for the Nabi of Allah. They loved him so much. They wouldn't have mind that he woke up in such a manner that in his waking up, that he perhaps, you know, disturbed them for a little while. But no. What does she say? فَتَحَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدَ وَأَخْلَقَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدَ. He opened the door gently. He closed the door gently. In such a manner that if I was asleep, I would not have heard it. If I was forced to sleep, I would not have heard it. I challenge anyone to say that do we come into the house if we have to come out in the late hours of the night? Do we come out and come into the house in a manner that we do not disturb our sleeping wife? But that was a sunnah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the appropriate way that he dealt with his wives. And every wife he dealt with appropriately. Every wife. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all we know, 11 wives. Right? And everyone he dealt with them appropriately according to their temperament. And such a great lesson that you and I are supposed to adopt. That address everyone. I mean, we don't know. I mean, you're not going to have many wives by and large. You know what I mean? But the thing is that whoever your wife is, whatever temperament is, she is going to be according to that temperament. See how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed them. Hazrat Umm Salma, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to her, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm prepared to get married to you, but I'm sensitive. And you are putting me in a situation where there are many other wives. How will I bear? And how will I be able to address my sensitivity? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't worry, I will deal with the sensitivity. And not once did she complain about the sensitivity. He dealt with her despite the fact that she was sensitive. Today we say, oh, wife was sensitive. So what? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wife was sensitive. And he dealt with it. Some of the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were prone to anger. Some of them were kind, enthusiastic, like Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't stifle her. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave her such great encouragement that she is the fourth greatest transmitter of the sayings of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He took into account her enthusiasm and he gave her. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala came from what in today's time in Gujarati we have called Parayamati. She came from Gher Gam, Paraya Gam Mati. She was a Jewish woman. Right? She was a Jewish woman. And one day she came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, the other wives of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are taunting me. They say that you don't love me because I come from Jewish background and they are from Arab background. They are the same tribe as you and therefore you love them more. Now if ever you bring your wife is from another village, and from another tribe, and your parents or your family taunt her, this is what you are supposed to do now. This is what you are supposed to do. Give her confidence. What did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Said, go and tell them that my grandfather was Hazrat Harun and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. My husband is Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How dare you taunt me? How dare you taunt me? I have an added bonus that my grandfather was the Nabi of Almighty Allah. My husband is a Nabi of Allah. The same Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, one day she came to complain to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I got a backache. My back is paining. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did? He made a small ball with his shawl. And he put it and he said, oh Safiya, when you climb onto the camel, right, because of your back, put that shawl behind the small of your back. It will help you. It will help you with regard to your backache. Now, do we do the same with our families? How did he deal with his family? Today, if someone were to do all of those things, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Aisha was asked, what did he do when he came in the house? He took care of the household chores. He cleaned the house. He cleaned the house. He sometimes, in today's time, if you today have to do something, you have to wash. Sometimes you have to clean the kitchen. Then what are is there in them? What does grace is that when the Nabi of Almighty Allah Ta'ala did it? But what is our situation? If a husband does that, then Gujarati will say, I do bailo che. Bailo che. But the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala did it. Brothers, this is what I'm trying to prove to you. How the Nabi of Allah dealt with every individual, every group of people appropriately. And today I always say, we as husbands, we have to have more tolerance. Tolerance is necessary in a marriage. Without tolerance, you can't do anything. And therefore, the husband has to have the tolerance. That is why Allah Ta'ala gave him the right of talaq. The right of talaq is in the hands of the husband. If it was in the hands of the wife, sab chutti khalas, we would have been all finished. And that is not anything. It's not anything as a mistake or an error. It is the temperament Allah has given the woman that they are more emotional. Right? So because of the emotions, they will do things on emotion. You are not supposed to do things on emotion. You are supposed to be matured. You are supposed to behave responsibly. And you know, I always tell people, the responsibility of talaq is in your hand. And what is responsibility? Take the word responsibility, break it up in two. Responsibility. The ability to respond correctly. You have the right. Now someone can tell me, and I said, tell me, my wife told me, give me talaq, so I gave her. So I said, why did Allah give you that responsibility then? If she told you and you did it, why did Allah give it to you and not to her? So why don't you think about these things? So we must have this tolerance. They said that our husband and wife, they were very, very good. They used to get along very, very well. You know, so, but never ever had secrets. Whatever they had, they used to be transparent. But there was one thing. The wife had a small, you know, container which she locked. And she told her husband, you can't tell me what, this is my secret. You can't, anything in here, you can't do anything with it. This is my secret. Everything else is transparent besides what is in this particular box, in this container. Right. Now, after 50 years, they were married on the 50th anniversary. The husband said, now we're both taking you away. For 50 years, you're keeping a secret. Now tell me, what's in this box? So he opened up the box. So in the box, there was a doily. You know what's a doily? The nut, the crochet that you put on the dressing table. So there was a small doily, and there was 50,000 rand there. So he said, now what is so secret about this? He said, when I was getting married, my grandmother told me, every time your husband makes you angry, then don't reply. Don't ever reply. Just go and nut the doily. So that doily was only half finished. So the husband was very happy. So he said, 50 years, you only nutted half a doily. I'm such a good husband. Such a good husband. He said, what is it, 50,000? He said, all the doilies I sold. So we must become better husbands, my dear respected brothers. Anyway, this was how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt, appropriately. Everyone was right. Then our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with different people in his life. Sometimes they were ordinary people, sometimes they were royalty. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with everyone correctly. Brothers, this is what we got to learn. Today we see everywhere we go in this world, my dear respected brothers, whether it be Islamic organizations, whether it be religious institutions, whether it be our families, whether it be our individuals, everywhere there is just turmoil and fitna. Why? Because we haven't taken into account how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people. Everyone was dealt with appropriately. No one felt slighted. Aristotle had said one thing, the root cause of enmity is when a person feels slighted. The root cause of hostility is when a person feels slighted. Dushmani ka ye asal wajah hai. Ke log samajhte hai ke unhone mere saath accha nahi kiya. Yehi jo hai na dushmani ka asal wajah hai. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never allowed that to happen. So there was, sometimes there were ordinary people. Zayd bin Haram was a person who came from the desert. An ordinary baddu. A person who didn't have any status. Didn't have any great wealth. He used to come to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the desert, you used to get certain things that you don't find in the city. So he used to bring to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As he was going, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to give him things in the city that you don't get in the desert. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, he is my desert and I am his city. One day he came and he was selling things in the market of Medina. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved him. He used to make Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam laugh. So he used to make Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam laugh. He used to joke with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his hand, blindfolded him. So for a moment he didn't know who it was. So he was struggling to get out of the embrace. And as he was struggling to get out of the embrace, then he realized, he said, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed the road, even people who came after that, they used to know that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed here because of the fragrance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then when they saw, he realized that it was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he brought his back closer to the body of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to get the barakat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to get the barakat. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then realized that he knows who it is. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who will buy the slave from me? Who will buy the slave from me? Now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is interacting with him in an informal manner. Who is going to buy the slave from me? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, who is going to buy me? I am insignificant. Mere kya haisiyat? Mere kya tuhame? Who are you going to sell? What are you going to get from me? I am insignificant. No one is going to buy me, Ya Rasulullah. This is the time of slavery. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Zahir wallahi, inda Allahi laysat bikasir. I take an oath that in the eyes of Allah you are not insignificant. You are very valuable. Ordinary person, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him respect. Adi bin Hatim came. Adi bin Hatim was one of the great leaders of the Bani Tamim tribe. I think it was Bani Tamim. Right? So he came. Now, a whole long story, I don't have the time. Time is going to go. Tori der keli, I can just make it. So his wife, his sister came. She was taken as a prisoner. So she was sitting in the courtyard of Masjid Nabawi. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the prisoners of war. And she came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She was quite a confident woman. And she came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, oh Muhammad, treat me well. Treat me with kindness because of my position. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken aback because she came and she said like this. So why should I treat you well? I am the daughter of Hatim Tai. Now Hatim Tai was known for his generosity. Even today, when Arabs want to describe generosity, they give the example of Hatim Tai. You are as generous as Hatim Tai. Hatim Tai was known for his generosity. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your father was a person who used to treat and he used to feed the guest and he used to look after the poor. He had qualities that a Muslim is supposed to have. Go because of your father's generosity, I have freed you. Go because of your father's generosity, I have freed you. And then she said, Ya Rasulullah, she said, Muhammad, that time she didn't bring Iman. She said, Muhammad, I won't take freedom until you free my whole tribe. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are a true daughter of your father. Just as your father was generous, you are also generous. Go, I have freed you because of your father. I freed your tribe because of your generosity. Go. Then she went and she went to complain to her brother. Brother ran away to Syria. Adi bin Hatim. So she told him, she went to go and she said, what are you? You first of all, you left me and you ran away and you made me a prisoner of war. And then she told him, go and see Muhammad. Go and see. You want to see akhlaq? Go and see Muhammad. So when Adi bin Hatim came, you know, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gone outside. So someone said, Ya Rasulullah, Adi bin Hatim came. Adi bin Hatim came. Adi bin Hatim was someone who was well known. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him in his room. There was only one cushion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the cushion. Now on the way, while they were walking and they were speaking, they were talking, one woman came to complain, you know, about poverty. Then someone came to complain about that he goes for trade and he goes for business and the roads are not safe. The roads are not safe. Like today, they have kids, you know, spikes and all that on the road. So that time also there was that, Ya Rasulullah, the journey is not safe. So when they started sitting, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started speaking to him. Right? And he started speaking to him. And he said, Adi, tell me what is your religion? I am a Christian. What branch of Christianity? He said, I am this branch of Christianity. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, you are from this branch of Christianity, but this branch of Christianity demands you must do such and such a thing, you are not doing it. He knew that the details with regard to Christianity. He knew that detail. Say, you are from this branch. In this branch of Christianity, this is supposed to happen. You're not practicing upon it. Then he said, Adi, I know what is in your mind. You are thinking that is he a Nabi of Allah? Is he a king? And if he is a king, you know, then why are the people in poverty? Why are they complaining about poverty? Why are they complaining about the roads not being safe? The passage not being safe? And he said, Adi, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. A time will come when Islam becomes dominant. A woman will travel from Hira in Iraq up till Medina, and no one will touch her. She will come safely all the way from Hira, Iraq till Medina. And oh Adi, you are thinking that people are not wealthy. A time will come. A Muslim will come, and Nabi made another particular, you know, a prediction. And then another prediction, he said, a time will come. A Muslim will come out of the masjid to give zakat, and no one will be there to take zakat. There will be so much of barakah and so much of prosperity in the Muslim ummah. And Adi bin Hatim said, I saw the two predictions coming through. I'm waiting for the third prediction. He became a Muslim. But he was royalty. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated him accordingly. Then of course Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people differently. Brothers, there are people that in our community, some people are ignorant. Some people are neglectful. Some people are enemies. How did our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam deal with all of them? Everyone Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with correctly. Ulama have written, the ignorant must be educated. The negligent one, he must be reminded. The enemy, as far as possible, transform him. This is how our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was supposed to do. The ignorant must be educated. The ghafil, the one who is ghafil, must be reminded. The one who has doubt, you know, the one who has been doubt, who's got doubt, he must be explained. The one who is an enemy, try to transform him. Now look at all these four things that I have made mention. The person who is ignorant, he must be explained. He must be explained. So what happens is, a person comes to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, when I think about this, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to commit adultery. Allow me to commit adultery. I mean, can you imagine the greatest human being, someone said, come and allow me to commit adultery. What will we do today? What will an alim do today if someone comes and asks him something like that? And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removed his doubts. He said, you're going to make adultery with someone? You're going to make zina with someone? That is going to be the mother, the sister, the aunt of someone. Would you like someone to do that to yourself, to your mother, your sister? Won't like it. They're also the aunties, the mothers, the sisters. How do you expect them to like it? He started making tawbah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his hand on his chest. Sahaba say there was no one more moral and chaste after that. The ignorant need to be educated. The person came to urinate in the masjid. We all know the incident. Sahaba was so angry. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't get angry. Leave him now. If you're going to, you know, just think about this. You know, think about, sometimes you mustn't make things worse than what it is. Now the person is urinating in the masjid. You go and chase him away. While he's urinating, what's going to happen? Now that particular urination, which is in one place, that urine, if you chase him, he's going to be in the old masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let him finish. After he finished, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him and said, the masjid is not a place for this. So those who are ignorant need to be explained. Those who have, you know, those who are your own, those who are your own, you have to bring them together. You have to encourage them. You know, we are living in an age, my dear respected brothers, I need to tell you this. We are living in an age, you cannot demoralize people to bring them upon the right path. How can you scold the people to bring them upon the right path? You know, because if you are going to scold them, you're going to rebuke them, you're going to demoralize them. Today, this ummah needs hope. This ummah needs encouragement. This ummah doesn't need to be brought down. This ummah doesn't need to be labeled. This ummah doesn't need to be told that you are so bad. And normally we tell the people who come to the masjid that you are so bad. I mean, these are the people who try to come to the masjid and we are demoralizing them. The Nabi of Allah Ta'ala lifted people's spirits. He encouraged them that they look forward to do something. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day called me and he said, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. I love you. And because of my love for you, Read after every salat, read this dua which I read today after Maghrib. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me in remembering you. Help me in being grateful to you. Help me in making the best ibadat of yours. He didn't tell him, give him a slap and said to Gadera Parni Abe. He said, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika. Oh Allah, I love you. I love you, Muaz. Read this. Brothers, this is what we must read, because we cannot do ibadat until Allah Ta'ala allows it. And read this dua after me, my dear respected brother. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. As it Mu'az said, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me in such a manner that I never ever forgot that particular type of debt. I never forgot that dua. And he lifted people up. Even the people who are wrong, not that you justify the wrong, but he brought people towards, rectifying themselves, wanting to rectify themselves. The time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day a person drank alcohol. Right? Now, can you imagine the Mubarak time, the Mubarak era, when someone was found to be drinking alcohol? Now, in Islam, alcohol is not something to do only between you and, it's only an individual thing. It has an impact upon society. And because it has an impact upon society, there is a punishment for it. So they were busy, giving the punishment. When someone said, may Allah disgrace you. In the Mubarak era of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are drinking alcohol. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam rebuked that person. He said, don't help shaitan against your brother. You're going to tell him, may Allah disgrace you. You're going to turn him away from Allah. You are going to distance himself from Allah. You're going to bring, shaitan will take something over him. Shaitan will, now he'll become closer to shaitan, because you have driven him to shaitan. Don't drive him to shaitan. Bring him close to Allah. Give him hope. Don't say, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't say Allah disgrace him. I know that he has love for Allah and his Rasul. Even if he drank alcohol, he left love for Allah. It is because of this the Sahaba loved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a rahmat of Allah that the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was kind and compassionate. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزًّا غَلِيزَ الْقَلْبِ. If he was vulgar, if he was rebuking the people, they would not have loved him. They would not have surrounded him. They loved him because he was kind. He was compassionate. He loved them. He brought them to Islam with such beauty. And even those who were enemies, he transformed them. How did he transform them? People who used to, they used to denounce. They used to make a mockery of Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated them in such a manner. They became amongst the pioneers of Islam. After Fatah Makkah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Bilal to give the call of azan. And while he was giving the call of azan, youngsters, sometimes they make a mockery, they make a joke. We see some, non-Muslims, sometimes they see the azan, they make a mockery of the azan. And they say it in a funny way. So there's a group of youngsters, they started saying the azan in a funny way. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them. And as Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them, Abu Mahzura says, he said, who was the one who was making a mockery of the azan? And they all identified me because I was the front runner. I was the one who was in the front. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he put his hand on his head. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on his head. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caressed his hand and his head and his face. And he said, repeat the azan. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I was making a mockery. I don't know the words of the azan. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come, I teach you. You got such a beautiful voice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him the azan. And after he taught him the azan, he knew the azan very well. He said, he became a Muslim. He said, Ya Rasulullah. He was 17 years of age. Ya Rasulullah, make me the muazzin of Kaaba and Baytullah. The man who made a mockery of the azan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him the muazzin of Kaaba and Baytullah. That is how he transformed enemies. That is how he made enemies into friends. Khalid bin Walid was one who created such great turmoil for the Muslims, such great frustration, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried so much after the Battle of Uhud. How much did our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cry? So when our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried in Uhud, such great setback, and who was the master behind it? Khalid bin Walid. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Makkah in the seventh year after Hijri in Umratul Qadha. And the brother of Khalid, Walid bin Walid, he was in, "Oh Walid, where is your brother? Where is your brother? Ya Rasulullah." Now Walid also, "Ya Rasulullah," he couldn't even say it, he's gone out of Makkah. And the reason was, there were certain people like Ikramah bin Abi Jahl and Khalid bin Walid, they were so antagonistic against Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they couldn't even bear Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam being in Makkah. They couldn't see it. They fled Makkah. They went away. He will come back to Makkah after he goes away. We can't even see him in Makkah. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Walid, go and tell." And this is also what I always tell people: identify talent. Identify the strength of people. Even sometimes you might see a non-Muslim and you say, "Man, this man has got such good akhlaq, man. He's got such good talent. Maybe that talent can be used in a good manner. Let me speak to him. Let me appeal to him." Now Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that Khalid had good potential. Okay, he used that potential in wrong. Now let me make him use that potential in right. "Walid, go and tell your brother Khalid what a great person he is." You know, a person like him cannot be oblivious of the beauty of Islam. He cannot be oblivious of the beauty of Islam. "Tell him to come to us. We will give him full recognition of his potential." Walid writes a letter to Khalid. He went away and told him, "When Khalid comes back to Makkah, give it." And then Khalid comes back. "Khalid, you're running away. The Prophet of Allah was praising you. He was talking about your potential." And that same night, Khalid bin Walid sees a dream that he's in a desert, a barren desert, and he's moving towards a place. And from a barren desert, he moves into an oasis of greenery in which there is streams and there is greenery. He realizes what the meaning of the dream is. He comes and brings iman upon our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khalid, who was the one who brought about the setback of Muslims in Wahad, he becomes what? He becomes Saifullah. How did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam greet with him? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even sometimes, I'll just give you two more examples. I'm giving these examples to put into our life. Now sometimes you get a situation where we know our friends. Amongst our friends we say, "Now this friend here, man, he's always got something, some chuchas," you know, you say that. "Okay, he's always got some chuchas, he's always got certain things." Sometimes it happens, there are certain people who've got certain temperaments. Huh? He's got certain temperaments. Now, you don't now go and distance yourself from him because he's got some of these temperaments. He's got certain sensitivities. You respect his sensitivities. So Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, Aisha radiallahu anhu says, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, one day he was sitting, and he was sitting in an informal manner. It was maybe, you know, time and there wasn't, you know, salat time, and he was sitting informally. Abu Bakr came and he sought permission. And Hazrat Aisha said, "I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting in his informal position, sitting relaxed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down. Abu Bakr came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started speaking to him informally. Umar radiallahu anhu came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started speaking to him informally. The door was knocked again. "Who is it?" "Uthman." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his kurta right. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his lungi right. The lungi was slightly, you know, raised. When before that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his lungi right, you know, in the right manner. And then after they all went away, Hazrat Aisha said, "Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr came, Umar came, you sat in an informal manner, Uthman came. All of a sudden you put yourself right, you put your kurta right, you put your lungi right. Why, Ya Rasulullah?" And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Because of his intense, his modesty. He is such a person, even the angels show modesty in his presence. Because of that, I showed respect to his modesty. He didn't say, he's too much extreme in this particular. I showed respect to his modesty. Take into account. And lastly, I will make mention of, and see, sometimes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with individuals, but sometimes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with delegations. So the ninth year of Hijri is known as Amul Wufud, right? So in that year, so many different delegations came in the presence of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many delegations. Ulama write 110 delegations came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Most of it were in the ninth year after Hijri. Although they started coming from Hudaybiyah at the time, from the sixth year after Hijri. 110 delegations came. And why they came? You see, the people of Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula, you know, Arabian Peninsula were waiting what happens between Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quraysh. So whoever wins, they will say, all right, let's see what happens. These are the two central figures, right? So whoever wins, then we will follow that person. We will follow that group. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gained victory and conquered Makkah, people started coming. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَعِيتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And when you see people that they come into Islam in droves, and you know, whole armies and armies come into Muslims, 110 delegations, not all of them became Muslims. Some of them, most of them became Muslims. Some of them came to sign a peace treaty. The tribe of Najran came, they were a Christian tribe. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept them in the masjid. And today when you go to Masjid Nabawi, we see that the pillar of the delegation, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to entertain the delegations in the masjid. Some of them were non-Muslims. When the tribe of Najran came, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, put up a tent for them. And the way you and I, we have turns within the community to feed the jamaats that come from other sides. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made turns for the Sahaba to feed them. And then there was a long debate with regard to, in the third Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala made mention of it. They didn't accept Islam, but then they accepted to live under the authority of Islam. But they came. So all of these tribe came. And the one that I would like to make mention is the tribe of Taqif. The tribe of Taqif were the people of Taif. Now when the people of Taif, when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told by the, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was persecuted, the angels came and said, Ya Rasulullah, allow us, we can bring the mountain tops, the mountains of Medina, I mean Taif, and we can crush the people of Taif. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, leave them. They have not accepted Islam, their children will accept Islam. And I always make mention of this, that all of us, I think I've made mention, you might have heard it from me, but let me make mention of it again. That all of us, whose origin is from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, right? Whose origin is from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, we owe our Islam to the mercy Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed to the people of Taif. Because from the people of Taif, there came a person by the name of Muhammad bin Qasim. He was a Thaqafi. He was from Taif. Now if Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua and then they would have been destroyed, then what would have happened? But from that progeny comes Muhammad bin Qasim. He introduces Islam to India and Pakistan. Because of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showing mercy to the people of Taif, then this whole group of people, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, became Muslims because Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed mercy to the people of Taif. Anyway, after a great amount of time, in the ninth year after Hijri, the people of Taif, now one of them was Urwa bin Mas'ud. Urwa bin Mas'ud was the most prominent person of the Thaqif tribe. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَزِيمٍ. Allah in the 25th Supara made mention that the Quraysh used to tell the Muslims, why did Prophet would come to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He would have come to prominent people from these two cities, Makkah and Taif. And ulama, the Mufassirin, say that in the Taif, the Quran was referring to Urwa bin Mas'ud, Thaqafi. That's what the Mufassirin have written. So Urwa bin Mas'ud was such a prominent person that when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was being negotiated, the Quraysh sent Urwa bin Mas'ud to go and negotiate on their behalf. Now that whole incident is a different matter. No? So now, that was it. So Urwa bin Mas'ud, Islam came into his heart now in the ninth year after Hijri. So when he decided to become a Muslim, he went alone to... He went alone to Medina and he became a Muslim. Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. So when he became a Muslim, he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to go and give da'wah to my people. Give me permission to go and give da'wah to my people. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Urwa, don't go and give da'wah directly. The people are still not ready. People are not ready. Sometimes you see, my dear respected brothers, what we must learn from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't make the situation more worse. One day, the son of, you know, Abdullah bin Ubay was the munafiq and the hypocrite. He was a hypocrite. He was the one who caused great harm to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the one who falsely accused Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha of immorality, which caused Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hurt and the Sahaba hurt. He was the one who betrayed the Muslims at the time of the Battle of Uhud. He caused so much of harm. So one day his son Abdullah said, "Ya Rasulullah, today I'm going to kill my father. I can't bear that he is giving you so much inconvenience. I can't bear that he's giving you so much inconvenience. And before someone else does it because of him causing you harm, let me do it. Because if someone does it, being a son, I might take revenge. And the thing's better that I go and kill him." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, "Don't kill him. Don't kill your father. Ya Rasulullah is a hypocrite. Look at what and what he's doing." You know what Nabi Akram Sallallahu said? Two things. Abdullah, don't kill your father. Firstly, he reads namaz with us. No matter what his intention is, he reads namaz with us. So don't kill him. Today we read namaz with people in our masjid. We stand shoulder to shoulder with them. And then at the group, outside the masjid, we betray them. We stab them in the back. What type of akhlaq is that? Here the Nabi of Allah is accommodating a munafiq and a hypocrite. And he said, don't kill him because he reads namaz with us. And then another thing he said, that, "Oh Abdullah, if you're going to kill him, the people will say that Muhammad kills his own companions. The people will say Muhammad kills his own companions. And what will the people think of us that we kill our own companions? Have we ever thought about this when we Muslims, we fight amongst one another? Huh? In certain instances, Muslim organizations fighting has gone to court. Now, what do you think? What did the Nabi of Allah says? What will the people say about us? What will the people say that we are fighting amongst ourselves? Look at the Muslims. They can't get along with one another. They're fighting with one another. The Nabi of Allah told, "No, don't kill him." The people will say, "Muhammad kills his own companions." Nevertheless, I'm trying to say that don't make... So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Urwa bin Mas'ud, don't go and give... You know, but he had that enthusiasm. He just brought iman. So Urwa bin Mas'ud goes back to Taif. And when he comes back to Taif, normally whenever anyone came back to Taif, Lat and Uzza were the idols. First thing they do, you go to the idols before you come home. So this time when Urwa bin Mas'ud, he was a Muslim, he didn't go and go to the idols, he went straight home. And when the people said, "Oh Urwa, you didn't go to the idols," he said, "I'm a Muslim." And when they came to talk to him, instead of normally talking to him the way they make salam, he greeted them, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." So the people were very angry. So the next morning, Urwa bin Mas'ud got up on his house and he started giving azan. So this was too much for the tribe. So look at the wisdom of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now he was enthusiastic. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Urwa, don't do it." You know, but since Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw his enthusiasm, he said, "Okay, go." So while he was giving azan, they let loose of an arrow and he became wounded to such an extent that he was now on his, you know, losing his life. The last stages of his life. And then the people of his tribe and his family said, "We will take revenge." He said, "Don't take revenge. This is what I wanted. I wanted to become a shaheed. Go and bury me near the Sahaba who lost their life in the Battle of Hunain. Bury me there. Don't take any revenge." And when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to know about it, you know, that Urwa bin Mas'ud was made shaheed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "He is like Ali Yasin." So Habib Najjar, you know, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says that وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْسَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسَى. That prophets came to a city and they didn't listen to the prophets, and a carpenter came, an ordinary carpenter. And he told the people, اِتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ, follow the prophets. And they made him shaheed. And when they made him shaheed, when he went into Jannah, قِلَ الْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجْعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. When he's in Jannah, he's making dua. "Oh Allah, show my people who killed me. Show my people who made me shaheed, who killed me. Show them the reward you gave me for being upon the right path." This is a da'i. A da'i, no matter a person kills him, he's still wishing for the good of that person, even if he killed him. That is how the Muslims were. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he's like Ali Yasin. The people killed him and they killed Urwa bin Mas'ud. Now the tribe of Thaqif, afterwards they regretted. So they sent 6 people to go to Medina. So this was one of the delegation out of the 110 that came. And if Allah Ta'ala keep us alive one day, inshallah, if next year we come, if Allah Ta'ala keep us one of the years, I'll give you some of those delegation, every one of them, such amazing incidents. So the tribe of Thaqif came. So when they came with 6 to 12 people. So Mughira ibn Shu'bah was a Muslim. He was someone who was looking after the goats and the animals, and he saw the tribe of Thaqif coming. And he said, Subhanallah, my tribe are coming. Maybe they're going to come and become a Muslim. So he ran to Nabi Akram. Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, my tribe is coming. Make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant them hidayat. Ya Rasulullah, make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant them. So now, you know, obviously, everyone wants his own children, his own tribe to come on righteousness. How much? That's the type of dua we are supposed to make for our children. So then he came. Then he went to Nabi Akram. Then he went to his tribe. He said, please, when you come to Nabi Akram, this is what you must do. This is what you must do. This is what you must do. So they came in the presence of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a tent for them outside the masjid. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to feed them. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, you know, go and sit with them. Now, I'm not saying we must do the same thing. I'm just saying this was the wideness of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People were not Muslims. They came. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put up a tent for them. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go and sit with them. Used to speak to them about Islam, and slowly they became Muslims. Slowly they became impressed with Islam. Slowly they became inclined towards Islam. And then our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they started negotiating. So look at this amazing thing. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are prepared to become Muslims, but we're not prepared to give zakat. You know, not prepared to give. No. Sorry, there is no compromise. Certain things, there are no compromise. They said, Ya Rasulullah, but you know, we can't make five namaz. You know, so Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now, this is something that we have to keep in mind. Five salat, there is no compromise. There is no one, anyone who becomes a Muslim, he has to read immediately. But Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam did give an indication, and he told the Sahaba that even if I were to say that, you know, come slowly towards it, namaz is such a thing. If they start reading it, even if it's two, they will start reading five. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told them that no, read your namaz. Right? But Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there was one thing that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't compromise. They said, give us 3 months for Lat and Uzza. Don't just, that we are so, you know, someone that we are so all the time. We are, all the time we are, you know, worshipping these idols. Give us 2-3 months or give us a week. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, not even 1 minute. Not even 1 minute. Then they said, Ya Rasulullah, okay, give us this concession. That don't allow us to break Lat and Uzza. Send your own people to break Lat and Uzza. Now, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the delegation, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dealing with them. Everyone, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with appropriately. On this, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, if you don't want to go and break your Lat and Uzza by yourself, I will send people to go and break Lat and Uzza. And look at the choice of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sent Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Who was Mughira ibn Shu'bah? From the same tribe. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mughira ibn Shu'bah, and he said, Khalid ibn Walid, go and break Lat and Uzza. Now, Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala was a very, you know, a person who was a jokey person. So when he came to break Lat and Uzza, when he first took the first, you know, chopper to break Lat and Uzza, when he started the chopping, he fell down as if he was fainted. You know, he fell down. And the tribe said, we see, we told you, you mustn't break our idols. And then he got up and he laughed. He said, what did these things do to me? I was just making a joke with you. And then he broke the idols. And then they saw the breaking of the idols, and nothing happened to Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Nothing happened to Khalid ibn Walid. And then they all became Muslims. And today you go to Taif, you will go there in Taif, and you just see the masajid. And you said, Ya Allah, you know, if it was our situation, would we have had the same accommodation? Would we have treated the people of Taif the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated them? That today Taif, there is so many masajid. And Thaqif became one of the greatest allies of the Muslims. They became amongst the people who brought Islam in India, Pakistan. This is how our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in short, my dear respected brothers, this is the reality. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used such words, such beautiful attitudes with every person, every individual, every community, every tribe, that was so beautiful that changed people. Huh? He sometimes even, you know, salam us par jisne galiya sunkar duaye di. He heard, you know, people swore him. He gave them dua. People, they to throw thorns on his path. He used to give them flowers. This was our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give you another tawfiq of bringing these qualities into our life. That when we interact with people, we have the same impact. And we have the same muhabbat, the same kindness, the same type of attitude that will bring people together. May Allah give you another tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب. اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وحوضه لنا موردا. اللهم احشرنا في زمرته واستعملنا بسنته وتوفنا على ملته واجعلنا من حزبه. يا الله يا ارحم الراحمين، يا اول الاولين، يا اخر الاخرين، يا راحم الضعفاء والمساكين. يا الله، we are your weak servants. يا الله، يا الله، we are very weak. يا الله، we have committed many guna and sins. يا الله، يا الله، our sins are many. Your forgiveness is even far more greater than our sins. يا الله، يا الله، we have committed so much sins. يا الله، Allah, we are so shameful and so regretful over this wrong that we have done. Allah, your beloved Habib had said, anyone who is regretful and anyone who feels regret over his sins and he turns towards you asking for forgiveness, then you will turn towards him with forgiveness. Ya Allah, we are regretful. There is no one who has done wrong and feels proud about it, Ya Allah. Each and every one of us in this gathering, we have done wrong. We acknowledge it, Ya Allah. But we are shameful, Ya Allah. We do not justify our wrongs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not make us amongst those who justify our wrongs. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba'a. Let us see good as good and give us the ability to follow it. Let us see wrong as wrong and give us the ability to stay away from it. Ya Allah, keep us away from wrong, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are not happy with regard to the wrong that we have done. We are ashamed. Ya Allah, you grant us the ability to change, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we made mention of the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, the qualities of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we are so ashamed, Ya Allah. The great qualities where you had said, wa innaka ala khuluqin azim, that you have granted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the highest stages of conduct and character. Ya Allah, you have made him the example for us. We have not been able to follow it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us for the shortcomings. Ya Allah, change our situation. Ya Allah, let us be inspired and motivated by the beautiful example of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let us bring it into our life, Ya Allah. Allahumma ja'al nabiyyana lana farata wa hawdahu lana mawrida. Allahumma ahshurna fi zumrati wa sta'milna bi sunnati wa tawaffana ala millati wa ja'alna min hizbi. Ya Allah, resurrect us and let us live and die upon the millat of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the value of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us die upon this, and Ya Allah, let our meeting place be with the Hawza Kawthar, Ya Allah, where we will meet our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will join Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, by your grace, Ya Allah, in Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us good, Ya Allah, and never leave us for a moment without your protection, without your guide and your assistance. قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبي إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربنا وبحمده.